Eu passo aqui pra ti.
Amen. Good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for this honor to be with you this morning and to be able to share from my heart to you. My wife had a really great time, she said, yesterday with you. And I asked her last night, we were with people last night until quite late, you know, just doing some ministry. And so we got back by 2 a.m. And I said, hey, next morning, you know, I have to be up quite early, try to avoid the jam. So I was actually here by 7:30, you know, in the morning, just to avoid the jam. So I said, I've got to be up, you know, in 4 hours' time. And could you just tell me, you know, what did you do, you know, yesterday? She said a lot. And I said, oh, no, you know, because my wife is not known for her long-windedness. I am. But she said, no, she covered so many points. And I said, oh, you took half my message. Well, never mind. Hallelujah. It's good to hear you, worship lead. Eric, where are you? Where's Eric? Oh, Eric, wow. Man, I only thought that you were really, really good at, you know, this videography and all that. But yeah, fantastic, man. My first time. You got a good voice. Do you know that he actually lost his voice? And after losing his voice, he can still sing. Or maybe it's losing your voice that you can sing. So. Okay, last week you sounded like Rod Stewart. Oh, but it's good. Hey, so good to see so many of you here at this camp. Is it a camp or a conference? Because you all look like you just came from camp. Numbers that you hit and new goals that you break and new challenges that you overcome. And I love it. No, in fact, I think that's what God has given me. It's sort of like a DNA for me. I love groundbreaking stuff. As I said, I love history-making stuff. I think our God is a history maker. He is a history maker. And He is the person who anoints history makers. He is always moving forward. God doesn't have us moving backward. Sometimes He have us having retreats, like camps, and just to take two steps back, to see the bigger picture, and then to move forward again. Take two steps back to move forward 10 steps. But this is the God that we serve. He's a great God. I love Him. You love Him as well. And it's so good to be able to spend the morning just talking about Him. I do want to say three things to you this morning, and then we'll carry on with the day. I want to start, well, it's all going to be in D's, okay? Is that all right? I'm doing the pastor thing here this morning, message all in same letter, starting with the same alphabet. So here, all in D's. Thanks for sharing your testimony, brother, and for being so gracious. Well, you got a lot on your mind, but you should share more with me, man, brother, so I can get to know you more, Elvin. Thanks for sharing that. Elvin really has been a real blessing to us when he first came in. It's always good to get staff before the work gets crazy. Huh? So if he says to you that, first few months are nothing to do, it's all intentional. And then after that, you work them hard. Because, you know, in terms of leadership, God gives vision to leadership, doesn't He? And He gives vision. And vision is always forward, right? It's not like, it's not yesterday. It's not even tomorrow. Sometimes it's just like really ahead of time. Thank you so much. You took away somebody's water. Okay, thank you, whoever who donated a quarter of your quota. Thank you. Thank you so much. Wow. Wow, generosity. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, is that yours, brother? Or is that your wife's? You and your wife sharing. Okay, cool. I had this vision from the Lord, and He always stirs me up. This God I serve, He always disturbs me. You know, that's a nice D. He disturbs us. He never allows us to be too comfortable. No, and He always gives us dreams. He always gives us vision. You know, I thought for 13 years I've been living by faith. I'll let you know this, okay? And sometimes I wish that God would just test somebody else. You know, but he chooses to test me all the time. There's one year I remember when I was left with 32 ringgit 40 cents. Not in my bank account. My bank account is usually lesser. But 32 ringgit 40 cents in the whole ministry. the whole ministry, I needed 12,000 ringgit a month. And 32 ringgit 40 cents was left, you know. I was okay with the four digit, but then the decimal point is always the problem. So I remember the Lord bringing me through scripture. I was in tears. I said, God, help me, you know. And I like, you know, had to pay bills within the next couple of days. And the Lord delivered, you know, really, really delivered me in a powerful way. And He's done it so many times. I've cried so many times. You won't believe it. Every month, when God, you know, suddenly have the check appear from heaven, I cry. If you see me in the post office crying, I have cried so many times in the post office. You won't believe it. People, the post office people think I'm crazy. But every time I open the PO box, and without and only 32 ringgit 40 cents left, I'll take a whole stack of bills, you know. You know, I will not call my son Bill. I tell you, no, I'm just kidding. Bills, you know, Bills. That's a good name. It's actually William. And Bills, right? And it's a whole stack of bills, you know. And I remember the Lord bringing me through this whole scripture about being between the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army. You know, how many of you have been there before? Like, you're stuck, you know. You're stuck. Turn left, you cannot. Turn right, you cannot. Go forward, you cannot. Go backwards, you cannot. And you feel like you're in between the rock and a hard place. Someone says, no, devil in the deep blue sea. But this one is a scripture, Pharaoh and the Red Sea. And sometimes Pharaoh is just coming against you, you know. Every month you have to pay bills, man. Every month. Without fail, Pharaoh will come after you, man. So I took all this stack of bills. Pharaoh. Then after that, see, all you need today is just one word from God. Just one inspiration, one encouragement, one comfort, one word of strength, one promise, and just one envelope. Oh, I really love white envelopes, I tell you. For years and years, or these 13 years of living by faith, a lot of white envelopes have come my way. Praise the Lord for what's inside the white envelope. And I took out this envelope, and all the rest were bills, right? Seriously. And I took out the check that was in it. The pastor, I've not spoken to him for a year. He didn't even know my need. He wrote a check for 15,000 ringgit. Just at that point, you know. God always knows our need. But He challenged me all the time. And so there was one time I asked Him, you know this big question everybody has now and then? One, why? Why me? So I said, Lord, you know, look at that Christian with that big Mercedes-Benz. Test him now and then, you know. The Christian with the Rolls Royce, test him, you know. Now, sometimes test. How come test me? Then, of course, the Lord said to me, Kenneth, you ask why? But I tell you, why not? And I know why the Lord said that, because every time He does that, I grow stronger. No? And I've traveled quite a bit around the world by the grace of God. Next week, I'm going to go to New Zealand. And wherever I go and preach, I bring all these Malaysian meat testimonies, you know, that they have not really heard before anywhere else, because it's God bringing you through the wilderness and just being so faithful to you. And then when you bring it, you know, you don't have to copy messages from TD Jakes. You don't have to copy messages from all these big names. You just take your own. And I tell you what I've seen, people just being so ministered to by God, and God just wants to give us our own story. And that's really what it's about, isn't it, when we are doing all this videography and photography and all that. It's a story. And we want to share that story. We want to bring forth the story. And I pray that story will be original. But the best story is your own life story, isn't it? True. And the Lord is bringing us through all our own life stories. It's great to know that He doesn't always just bring us through the swimming pool. He brings us through the wilderness. And to be able to get testimonies, we must go through testings. And then He will turn the testimonies around. He will turn the testings around into testimonies. Okay, 3 D's. God is looking out to fulfill His dreams in our lives. First D, dreams. He is, if I could theme this message, is what is God looking out for? Okay? 3 D's. Number one, He's looking out to fulfill the dreams, His place in our life. Maybe just to make it a little bit more connecting today with this conference, I want to say that my personal dream has always been to involve the arts and videography and all that, communications. It's always been there. It's always been there ever since I was a teenager. I remember at about 17, I desired to be like an Oprah Winfrey, you know. Oprah Winfrey was very new. And not to be like her, but to do something that can impact lives. Like that, you know, a talk show. And I remember at about 22, 23, after I finished my law degree, and before I entered the legal career, I thought to myself, hey, sometimes you study just because we have to study. And because your father maybe said, these are 3 things for you, doctor, lawyer, or architect. Don't think of anything else. All right? So maybe sometimes our father's dream, but sometimes our own dream, God placed in our hearts, doesn't quite show itself up until much later. And God is good. He's faithful. And He's put a dream in my heart. And so I remember, although I finished my law, I wrote to TV3. And I wrote them about a four-page letter, no? A four or five-page letter, both sides, right, no? Okay? So it's probably about 8 pages. And I wrote to them why the young people need a youth talk show. Serious. You're talking about maybe, you're talking now about maybe 18 years ago, 17 years ago, okay? And I wrote to TV3. And I got a reply. It's cool to be able to pursue dreams. I got a reply and they said, come for audition. Wow, I was so excited, you won't believe it. This is 17 years ago. I walked to the TV3 office and there they asked me, okay, you wait here. They're just about to finish Money Matters. You're old enough to remember Money Matters. Okay, cool. I know. Actually, I know you're old enough. But the thing is, just have to ask. I can't remember the lady host now, but she's not very tall, but she's quite sweet. And she said, Kenneth Chin, right? You're here to audition? I said, yeah. And I thought they were auditioning me to be a host of Youth Talk Show. They were actually looking for a co-host for Money Matters. So anyway, I'm sitting down there, and she's going, so this and that. So I said, please look at the camera, you know. And that's my first taste of, you know, yeah, I'm like, what? You know, this broadcast, and I've never had anything before that, no. Not even a traveling holiday video camera, you know, Kenny smile, you know, because there's no family to Kenny about, no. My father and my mother divorced when I was zero, okay? Basically, I was still in my mother's womb. She left my father, went back to Singapore, gave birth to me in Singapore, so basically I'm Singaporean by birth. And my father came back from Vietnam and went back to carry me back. From not knowing that he had a son, went to Singapore. Said, "Why you left me, wife? Oh, hi. Who are you? oh, my son. Okay." And he carried me home and didn't really have a family to talk about. So no holidays, no nothing. We were so poor. So, I used to joke. So poor that when the robber came to rob us, we robbed him. Dreams. It's amazing. Hey, I remember this. How many of you kind of like consider my wife to be quite a beautiful person outside, inside? Can you agree? Yeah? You know, one time when she was walking, she was like the most beautiful girl in the church, you know. We came from FGA KL. Oh, I know every guy also was looking out, you know, people lining up for her and all kind of thing, you know, taking number all. Then one day I look behind and I say, hey, that's Sandra. And I just say that because she was part of the same youth group. Hey, that's Sandra. And one guy said, dream on lah, you. Dream! You must dream! And dream on. Hallelujah! Praise God for dreams. And but you know, sometimes you can have a dream, but I think God is out to prepare us, isn't he? You know, how can you imagine if I got Money Matters that time and life could have been different, no? I always tell myself that, you know, I could have, but life could have been so much different. I could even have married a Malay, because you know, some the life that it takes us to is like, you know, you'll be surrounded by so many of these lovely excuse me. The interview was good, but I had no passion. One thing is good to be led by passion also, no? Not just dreams, but passion. Because sometimes your dream I can have like so many streams, just in communications. But what really are you passionate about is probably what God has gifted you with. And let's move on. Next one I tried was Metro Vision. Funny. I'm a pastor now, but I've got this little bit of a entertainment streak in me, you know. I do. I don't know why, but I do. I think maybe, see, the talk show hasn't come about yet. And I've come to a place also that even if it doesn't come about, it's okay. I think sometimes maybe it's best to come to a place whereby the dream can die and it's all right as long as God's bigger dream come to pass. And I can say that my talk show dream has now become a team. And I look at Elvin and I look at, you know, maybe 20 people that he has under him. God does this sometimes, though. We have sometimes what we call personal ministry. And as my wife and I, actually, when we first were called by God, we wanted to be missionaries in the Middle East. And I remember when I gave up my law career, went to a Bible school, came back, the Lord gave me such a clear vision of young people. And I was on my knees for 2.5 hours without knowing, you know. And then when I got up, I got this vision, 2.5 hours worth of vision, and it was young people. I said, God, please, no, don't mess up my dream kind of thing. Me and my wife are ready. We are trained, you know, in a mission school to go, and we want to go, and all these are plans, you know. And the Lord says, hey, I'm asking you to reach out to the greatest tribe in the world. I said, wow, who's that? The young people. You know, they're a tribe. They're a mission field. Don't you know they have their own language? Yeah, have you checked their latest SMS? You know, you can't understand it. And they have their own hairstyle. They have their own baju. They have their own whatever. It's their own culture. They are the biggest unreached people group. Okay. Didn't see that way. But the Lord has His ways, isn't it, of leading us. And I remember the Lord spoke to me very clearly those days. He says, Kenneth, I can send you and your wife as personal missionaries. That's all right. And people are called for that. But he says, how about doing this? If I just send both of you out, it's just two of you. But if you allow me, I will work in you and through you so that there can be thousands of you coming out of Malaysia. That would be a better deal. And sometimes when you start, you can't see that because, I just want to go to Middle East and die for Jesus. Right? And of course, the Lord says, before you die for me, just live for me, lah. And I said, okay, Lord, that's good. I'm even looking at this talk show thing now. Instead of just one person standing there and doing things, and Oprah Winfrey is one person. Of course, she's sort of influence, but it's greater, isn't it? If in God's plan, it moves from a personal ministry into a public ministry, whereby you are able to go from just a talk show, one person talk show, to a team. And I'm very thankful today for a team that I have. So Metro Vision was really cool too, you know. Metro Vision, I don't know where I'm going to lead to the other D's, because I got so many stories to tell you all, no. And I thought it was pretty cool because Metro Vision was just, a full-time calling. This Metro Vision was when I received the calling from the Lord. I was about to go full-time and I said, but who is going to provide for me? So I heard that Metro Vision, just started, and they're looking for news readers. And they will pay 100 ringgit an hour to read news. And then later on, after interviewed me, they said, hey, you're about one of the only ones we've got so far that is quite okay with English. I don't know who was interviewing me, you know, but he thought so. I think I must have put on my British accent, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. In my Queen's English, you know, the Chinese Queen. I remember she said, okay. And then so I was sent to do facial for the very first time. 4-hour facial, no? At Beverly Hills facial, something like Kamu Pandan there. You know, they put a mask on me. I thought I was going to die. Shouldn't they be poking two holes to let you breathe? But they put the mask there, and you know, so I was getting ready, and then I had to go to this particular suit shop in Bangsa to, you know, suit up, you know, and they were doing measurements and all that kind of thing, and I was going to go on air just in the next, I think, month. And so they were supposed to do voice training. You have to throw your voice kind of thing, you know? Yes, yeah. You know, they asked me, Kenneth, can you now read Malay? I said, boleh, yeah, yeah. Terima kasih, yeah. I went like that, and they said, okay, never mind, that's it. Thank you very much. Without saying anything else. He said, please just read it. Yeah, nama saya Kenneth Chin, dan saya blah, 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 blah. Cukup, terima kasih. Next time. And Metro Vision didn't work for me because I was just getting married. And when I got married in September 1995, I remember I was staying in Ampang, and the Metro Vision studio was in Shah Alam. And to travel from Ampang Jaya to Shah Alam every night, they were going to put me up for about 15 to 17 nights. And I was actually counting the money in it. I wasn't even concerned about being on TV to reach the news because going into full-time, I was going by faith. Didn't know who was going to support me. But again, God gave me a taste, but He moved me on. So I don't know how many of you are probably hearing this and feeling connected. I'm not sure because when I ask the Lord a lot, I want to tell them some stories about, you know, this. It's all right to actually dream. It's all right to have all this personal stuff and to pursue it. But I said, you know, I don't know where I can carry on to the next two Ds. But I'm just going to share with them. And maybe the Lord, by His Spirit, would like to just use whatever we have and minister to wherever you are right now. I think it's good to pursue And as we pursue, we also surrender to God's perfect will for our lives. Instead of fighting things through and pushing the door that's locked, we just keep going, because it's easier for God to lead a moving vessel. And we move. And as we move, we also understand ourselves a little bit more. That I don't think I was just called to be Money Matters co-host. I don't think I was just called to be a Metro Vision English news reader. Definitely cannot do Malay. And I didn't do that, you know. I didn't do that. In fact, about 3 years ago when I met up with ATV, ATV took up the talk show idea and started talking to me. So I went to the office, talked to the head, said, "I like your talk show idea, tell me more. No? Then later on in the car, I say, "Yeah, but no, Kenneth, it would have been great if you were already a personality because ATV would have taken it up. Otherwise, it's better that you find sponsors and so that we can sponsor this program." But they're quite ready to do it. And I thought to myself, then got a bit of regret. So I don't know whether you guys sometimes regret also some things that you've not done in the past or done in the past. So he said, "Oh, if you would have only done the Metro Vision one," someone should go and act like that, no? Rub salt to wound kind of thing. "If you only would have done the Metro Vision one, then at least you would have been a face that people recognize. Then you can do the talk show, no?" So, and sometimes it causes us to regret. But I tell you, don't live in regret. Whoever you are this morning, if I'm talking to somebody, don't live in regret, because I tell you what, God is good. And it's actually quite hard. This one you must hear carefully. Quite hard to walk out of God's will. It's not easy. See, a lot of people say, "Hey, am I walking God's will?" If you love God and you fear God, it's actually quite hard. He is such a great God, such a big God. It is not so easy. Like just tomorrow only you can walk out of His will. Unless you're totally rebellious, you truly reject Him, then you get every reason to fear. But if you're really trying your best, loving God, and you're trying your best, it's not easy to walk out of God's will. Even the backslidden, God still has mercy and grace, and He reaches out. How much more people who want to do their best to serve the Lord? So, dreams. He wants to fulfill our dreams. So, latest one is Astro. Alright? Astro came in to help with Dream Malaysia. Last year, Dream Malaysia Award, some of you have read it in the newspaper. This year, we will do it again. And Astro wants to do Dream Asia. So the person from Astro said, "Kenneth, don't just do Dream Malaysia lah. Do Dream Asia, because Astro is in Indonesia, is in Brunei." You know, she spoke right into the dream, because I had this dream already for Dream Asia. And she says, "When are we going to do it? Astro has got an office in India and we want to do Dream Asia." So fine. But then I slot in a little bit of a side thing to her. I said, "Have you ever thought of a talk show?" 17 years have passed, you know, and I'm still talking this talk show thing, you know. And this Elvin, one day when he heard my vision, he said, "Pastor, let's just do it, let's just do it, you know." And so I think he borrowed some cameras from here and all that kind of thing. Then we tried to do our thing, still feel not ready, you know, fully. And I think God knows that. Even 17 years has passed, God knows whether we are ready fully for something or not. If we can just continue to walk and dream and trust God. I don't know how long it took for Joseph to get to his position, but it definitely took some time. But the dream is still a dream, isn't it? I heard people say before, when you ask them, "Hey, are you pregnant?" And then the girl says, "Yeah, a little bit." You're either pregnant or you're not. You know, little bit pregnant, why not? You follow, not? I mean, you can say, yeah, a little bit in terms of small or big, lah. But there's no such thing as a little bit pregnant. There's no such thing as a little bit dream also. Are you with me, friends? You dream. The time and the process of time and God's faithfulness and what God is doing with our lives, He's preparing us. He is really preparing us. He's preparing us for great. I want to say to you, you probably heard it before, I want to say to you, proclaim to you, declare to you, confess to you that your best days are ahead of you. I really believe it with all my heart. I believe the best days are ahead of me. I'm actually coming out with an autobiography now. People say, "Wow, you're so young, so got autobiography." I say, "Better do it first before I die, lah." And autobiography. And it just says this: chin up, because my name, Kenneth Chin. Chin up, okay? To ask us to be encouraged. God is good. Amen. We just sang that song. Chin up, but after, at the bottom, I put there half time. It's just my first half, okay? And then I go for, you know, to the canteen, drink some Milo, and then come back out for the second half. Hallelujah! Which I believe the second half should be greater than my first. The former days, the latter days will be greater than our former days. This is the God that we serve. He's the same God to all of you, to me. He's a faithful God. You say, Pastor, why are you taking so long just for the first D? How long are you going to take for the second D? Well, very, very quickly. The first D is very passionate to me. I am a dreamer. People call me that. So I thought I'd spend some time just talking about the first D. God is looking out to fulfill our dreams. And He is faithful to prepare us. He's faithful. Even this whole conference is part of His plan to do that. And things that you're here in this place is part of His plan to do that. Some seeds that will be sown into your heart, into your spirit, that may not even just tomorrow become a tree and have fruits, but it will in time bear fruit whenever God so desires it. Amen? The last bit of dreams is now I have got people in my church talking about making a movie. And I said, okay, great. So we have all these dreams, right? I said, great. I said, all these dreams, don't throw away. Okay, there's no such thing as a little bit pregnant. So these dreams from God. I said, let's keep it. It seems to be aligned with whatever God has given me. So I am a big believer in that. So I tell Elvin, I said, Elvin, I think God is just preparing us. Preparing us. And when the time comes, we will see that dream come to pass. Amen? It's hard to probably also do a full-on movie with a Sony travel camera, lah. But God is good. He's building up. I think you can also, but I think he's building up. One day, I just stood up in my church. There was a couple that just visited our church. No, there's a couple sitting down in the front. I said, hey, church, our XTV really needs a camera. So would you please raise up funds for a camera? The lady in the front said, she whispered to someone beside her, says, go tell Pastor Kenneth that I will buy the camera today. And she actually put out 13,000 ringgit on the spot for a camera, you know. So you keep on dreaming, lah, friends. Keep on. I know the other D that we all want is do it, lah. Okay, do it and do, you know. You do it, you know. The only thing you would want more of is God. Just give me more money. You know, if I only had more money, I could buy more equipment and stuff like that. But really, God is not just looking out for more to give you more money. Even if He gave you more money and you don't know what to do with it, it's terrible. Okay, last two D's, friends, before you sleep on me. Last two D's is, I think He's looking out for our discipleship. Our discipleship. I was inspired by this for a long time now, that God really is looking for disciples. Well, if you know your scripture, you know it well. He's not looking for just converts. He's looking for disciples. And as a pastor, I've made it my first priority in my church, and I'm sure in your church as well. I call it disciples first, only because I was again re-inspired by that president. What's his name? From South America. He was in cell group, no? While he was president, he was in cell group on a Friday, and people are asking him, "You are the president of let's just say Argentina, okay? You're the president of Argentina, and you got time for cell group, ah?" And then he just told the people, "I'm firstly a Christian, then I'm a president." And that's very big to me, you know. I'm firstly a Christian, then I'm president. Because it applies to everything then. I'm firstly a Christian, then my father. I'm firstly a Christian, then I'm a husband. So disciples first. It's because you're a disciple that actually you make it. And I realized that you are firstly a disciple. I'm sure my wife touched on this yesterday. You're firstly a disciple before you are a videographer and a photographer and all that. And because of that, God prospers us. And I think He's out looking not just to fulfill our dreams, He's out looking to build the character and the disciple within us to sustain. See, dreams can come, but can we sustain it? Some of us ask God for 1 million, but we really don't know what we want to do with 1 million. And the 1 million can come if you're not ready, if you don't have the discipleship or the character to sustain or to hold up that 1 million, that 1 million will kill us. I 2 years ago prayed for a business. The lady was really, really, she was in our church and she asked, please pray for my business, please pray for more staff. We went there, anointed the place with oil, no? And prayed, God, come on, no, it's your right that your children prosper. Oh, I'll pray all the prayers, no? All the flaws. She prospered, man, she prospered. She wanted 3 staff, she got 8. You know, extra, this is foreign staff, no? She got all the permits, everything, all done. Every day, the business increased 3-4 folds, no? Right? She's no longer in church, though. Because she's so tired up to Saturday night. She can't come to church, and she's not gone to church, I think, for about 2 years. And I don't know whether we just want the blessing and the dreams to come true, but not the discipleship spirit
within us to be able to sustain the bigness and the breakthroughs and the blessings and the and all these bees, you know, all these good things, all these breakthroughs of our dreams. We don't know whether we have it, but I think the Lord is after that. He's after that. So whatever He's doing in our lives now, He's actually after that. Disciples first before you're a graphic designer. You are firstly a disciple. I tell you, after about 13, 14 years of full-time ministry, I find that the most creative people in church are also the most challenging. Some of you are nodding, some of you are not sure what I'm talking about. When I first started ministry, I took people, because I didn't have a church, you see. So I had a tour around Malaysia. It's called GIG, Get Into God. And I've gone, like, you know, just to almost every state, lah. But you know, when I first started, I just came out as a lawyer, you know, rather from a legal background. And I came out and the Lord says, go and preach. You know, I will put words in your mouth. You will speak, you know. And in 5 years, 3,000 young people gave their lives to Christ. So this is God, you know, because I don't have any training how to be an evangelist. Just speak with me, lah. Whatever God wants you to speak. But worse still, I didn't have any musicians. So all the musicians borrowed one. Borrowed, no? From this church, borrow two, lah. From that church, borrow one drummer, lah. From that church, borrow one, you know, it's all borrowed one. Huh? You understand? Because, yeah, you definitely understand. He also all borrowed one. It's challenging, you know. That fella cannot make it this time, lah. That fella cannot make it that time, lah. That fella cannot come for this meeting, lah. That committee member cannot, because his pastor wants him there. You know, it's tough. It's tough. Hey, brother, sister, you got the right man to speak to you today. Because I feel you. Okay? Yeah, if I have some black blood in me, I feel you. Dude. Bro, I feel you. And I know how it is. And the Lord just borrowed. And He borrowed from me. But it's His, lah. You know, everybody is His anyway. But I borrowed, you know. And I tell you, the fullness that came, are all that the church don't want. No, okay, it doesn't happen here, lah. Here, all y'all, the church loves you. But and they are the best guitarists. They can only look at the guitar one. Cannot look at the public one. Because they're so into their guitar, so into their skill. And long hair, earrings, you know. Definitely cannot join the worship department one in church. Cannot. But yet they're the best, you know. Why are the best also the biggest? I won't finish the sentence. But you know, the most creative is always the most challenging, yes or not. If you believe me, just don't even lift the face of your hand, just nod your head or smile. Just smile. Such potential, you guys. Such power to make a difference and influence. Man, God has anointed you with a gift. Wow. If He could only just, you know, bring it together. If He could only just break it in. Like a shoe, when you first wear it, you don't know, it hasn't broken in yet. Not so comfortable. Once it breaks in, it's not so much your foot get formed with the shoe size, right? How many of you know that your foot doesn't become like the shoe size? The shoe kind of like conforms to your foot. And you, as the gifted person, somehow, yeah, I know the Bible says don't be conformed, no. But I believe also we need to form ourselves around something that, you know, God has shaped. And the shoe and the foot coming together to actually create comfort and movement and, you know, and peace. I think to myself, wow, God, that's what you're doing. You're breaking us in. And you've heard this before. I'm sure you heard it before. The most beautiful horses are all on paintings only. And I pray that you will never just be a beautiful horse. Because the best horses are all broken in and they're there in the middle of the war fighting. Because you cannot take a beautiful horse, you know, with all the mane flying, in the, you know, and then the painter paints you, you know, while you're roaming free in the, you know, whatever of Europe, you know, and you're cool, and there's about 55 of you, but you're only good for a painting. Huh? I don't want to be just good for a painting, do you? And I know that you don't want to also, and I know, and I pray, because I tell you what, the most creative people are in this room. And you have the power within your hands to put a face to faith. Sometimes people talk about faith, but you're going to put a face to faith. You're going to be able to tell the story. You're going to be able to write it, you know, film it. Man, I'm telling you, there's so much power in this room, you can't believe it. You can. God's gifted you. You didn't get this gift just because you were born now with a gift. No, suddenly, wow, got Macintosh in your hand when you're born. You know, no. God gave you that gift. You're being faithful to nurture it. But please don't be a painting. Please allow God to break you in. And a lot of us sometimes have problems with submission. Submission is a very, very key thing in discipleship. Submission is very key. When the submission happens, submission only happens when there's disagreement. When there's agreement, you don't need submission, no? Because you already agree, right? Oh, yes, Pastor, yes, 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 yes. No, Pastor. Then that's where submission really counts. It only counts when there's a disagreement. And I pray that you understand that and understand. I'll tell you why. Because there's so much power in this room, I had to say this. Is that okay with us? Is that okay with us? Because I tell you what, the enemy is out to steal our dreams. But the Lord is out to make it happen. But he's also out to disciple us. And finally, dependency. Last D, dependency. You might say, Pastor, where's the word? How come I never share the word one? Okay, I'll give you. Acts chapter 11, verse 26, I think. You can just write it down. Acts chapter 11, verse 26. It says that in Antioch, it was firstly where they called them Christians. And I love that scripture very much. In Acts 11, 26. I love that scripture very much. You know why? I think it's 26, but it's around there. If it's not 26, then just read the whole chapter. It's good for you. But I know it's Acts 11. And, you know, can you imagine the first place where they ever called people Christian was in Antioch. And not only that, it says they discipled them for 1 year. So the disciples were first called Christians. It's amazing that before you call yourself a Christian, you have to first be a disciple. The true meaning of Christianity is not that you have a Christian name, right? Oh, I'm John, you know. I'm Jonathan. I'm David. I'm Daniel. Therefore, I'm Christian. No, right? You know, you understand that. You understand that. But the thing is, I thought to myself, wow, what a powerful verse. And one verse that shows me, see, Christian before that was not even a name, right? Now it's a name. But it wasn't a name. So people have to do this. If you go back all the way back there, you have to imagine with me, people are looking like that. No? What to call them? Tiger? No. Are you with me? So what? Giraffe? No. Monkey? Gorilla? See, they're trying to find what you look like most. Look like Christ, or call what? Christian now? They had to find a name, you know. But the name didn't just come from dictionary, it came from seeing the person's action, speech. The person followed a discipline. And that's why he's called a disciple. But the first disciples were called Christians. You understand? So it's so important not to go the other way around. No? We are, I accept Christ, so I'm called Christian. Then later on, become a disciple. It's actually, maybe we should bring it back to reality and say, don't call yourself Christian first until you really follow Christ. Maybe. But anyway, that's too much. You know, we are actually quite, you know, creative people here. We don't talk about these kind of things. just kidding. What am I talking about? Anyway, there's Acts 11, verse, I think, 26. If I'm right, say I'm right, 26. Oh, cool. Thank you. And lastly, is just dependency. Why am I wanting to just share with you about dependency? It's just this, friends. I just recently went through it. Last night, I had a later bit of ministry from 12 to about 1:30. But before that, I was 1 hour on the email. I'll tell you why. There is a wonderful, 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 precious, precious brother who's a businessman. This is the time when I'm kind of like, I will share with you from my heart, because I was asking the Lord, what else do I share with them? Because what else are you out? What else are you looking for? Hey, just share with them your latest experience. You always do that, you know. Your latest experience is always non-conventional, non-taken from some book or something. You know, it's just you. Just share with them. I say, okay, I will. 1 hour just to answer this precious businessman who 7 months ago, I wrote to him and said, "Dear sir, I feel in God a time when I have to request that you stop supporting me. It is not that I found new support. I am still going by faith. But the Lord has reminded me again to place my full dependency only on Him alone. He has reminded me in times past that my greatest testimonies has always been when I trusted Him the most. So, dear brother, I will not be able in God to accept your 12,000 ringgit a month to my ministry. Do you understand that the 12,000 ringgit a month was the only monthly support I was getting for my ministry? It took me 3 months laboring in God's presence to say, God saying to me, Kenneth, your greatest days are ahead of you, but your greatest days will take greater faith. And you have come to a place whereby you are so comfortable because everything is provided for. You know, I've learned there's three phases in my life so far. One time when I had nothing, nobody, and then trusted God the most. And then I came to a place whereby I had something and trusted man more. Then now I come to a place whereby I have everything, as in people, datoks, Tan Sris, all that, who knows my ministry, who wants to support it, and yet I still have to trust God the most. It's got three phases. And I'm saying, and you know what, this datuk couldn't reconcile it, no? He wrote it back to me and said, Pastor, why are you doing this, you know? I've never had people scolding you for not taking their money, you know? But literally, he was doing that. Why are you doing this? I cannot reconcile it. You're not taking my money. Why? You know? And to be gentle and to be humble in my spirit, to let him know that it's not him. It's not his money or that is whatever, bad or not bad. It's not about him. It's not even about his company. It's what the Lord is saying to you now. And I'm going to ask you right now, what's the Lord saying to you right now? And I tell you, the greatest days are ahead of us, but it will take a deeper dependency on him. I know maybe some of you may not be ready for this. Maybe say, hey, Pastor, I need more money, so I'm going to write to people. That's all right. Please, go ahead. Write to people as the Lord leads you. Write to them. God still provides through people. No, he does. He does do that. He does. He finances and all that kind of thing. But then where is your dependency? That's the difference, you know. In fact, I said to him, actually he's a datuk, so I might as well say that to you. I said, dear datuk, I will continue to write to you as the Lord leads me. I will never say, no, I won't take your money. That's pride. I said, datuk, if you allow me, I will continue to write to you. But as far as this monthly dependency, that means I don't even have to think twice, no? Oh, it's going to come. It's going to come. You know? And at the end of the day, it is the man that gets the glory, not God, no? And the Lord was not pleased. That's all. It's just, he's not pleased. He wants the glory. And so finally, when I wrote that letter, I was trembling, no? Hey, your only support, 12,000, you don't tremble. I told him, I said, Dato, I was writing that letter with fear and trembling. Who in his right mind will write that? I said, Dato, who in his right mind? I had heard from God. And I tell you what, if we obey, we will be blessed. Do you know that my church in 6 months grew by 100 more people? God says, you want a church to grow? I said, yes, God. He says, depend on me. I said, okay, God, I will fully depend on you. Do it. Yes, Lord. You know, it's very easy to say. Singing was very easy to sing. Sometimes prayer is very easy to pray. I will give up the 12,000. Huh? That doesn't include that, Lord. You know, touch something else, please. That. I said, oh, God, in my mind, how? 12,000 ringgit more. If I was wrong, I will fail my staff, 16 staff in my office, will fail. My ministry will fail. It's gone. I need that funds. But God spoke to me. And it was not just 3 hours. It was 3 months. I labored and labored and labored. God had a big... See, it was not even God trying to make your life difficult. It's because he has greater things in store that he puts us through things. Again, preparation. The best dreams are ahead of us. In fact, the dream that you have been dreaming, I've been dreaming for 17 years of the talk show. It's ahead of me. I know somehow, some way, you know, it's either going to be me or it's going to be someone through me or, you know, I'm going to be involved in it. God's going to be so good, you know, and he's preparing me. And he says, Kenneth, watch what I will do. I told my accountant, I said, I'm going to have to pull this out, no? How can we survive? He said, Pastor, we are actually in the red, you know, already. God is like that one, no? He doesn't give you blue first, you know, and black, before. He's like, you know, you go, then I'll show. Not I'll show, then I'll go. So, but we always are human beings. Like, God, you show first, then I'll go. And he said, no, you go first, then I'll show. No, show first, then I'll go. No, go first, then I'll show. You know, and this thing going on and with the Lord. So I'm ending in the next couple of minutes. I just want to say to you, friends, I don't know who I'm speaking to today, but God is a good God. And what is he after? In through your toughness, through your challenges that you're going through now, through your testings, through your tough times, through your wilderness, what is he really after? He's actually not after breaking you down, but he's after building you up. He is not a dream killer. He's a dream builder. Amen? And he's looking out for your dream. And he's also looking out for you. Because the dreamer must be as strong as his dream to be able to carry it through. And finally, is dependency. I tell you what, if your dependency is on man, or your dependency is on your skill, your dependency is on your certificate on the wall, your dependency is on your name, on your company's name. If your dependency is on anything except the Lord, you will only get so far. You will get to a certain distance, but only so far. But if you allow God to take over, he will break your boundaries, tear off your limits, and you will get to places that you have only dreamt about. So I took 1 hour. I said, Dato, for once in my so many years of relationship with you, this is the first time I can confidently say to you, I am your friend and I appreciate you, and you and your wife are precious to us, and it's not because of the money. Why? Because for the past 6-7 months, I have not taken his 12,000 ringgit per month, which is quite a lot of money, 12 times 7. It's quite a lot of money already. He doesn't need those savings, no? Because I think he earns that like per second kind of thing, like, no? He's a lovely man, a wonderful man. He loves to give. He fears God. In fact, he fears God so much that he fears that I'm making the wrong decision. I'll tell you what happened. The next month itself, the accountant came up to me and says, Pastor, a miracle just happened. Our offering increased by 30,000 ringgit. Not 30,000 ringgit this month, no? I mean, like, wow. Do you know that sometimes we can come into a Christian life whereby we just, is there no more new testimonies already? The last new testimony was 1977. And you know that God is not the kind of God. He's fresh. He's new. He's new manner kind of God. I know when was your last new testimony, but if God is bringing you through a challenge, it's because he wants to give you a new testimony. But sometimes we avoid it, try to call datos to get, you know, our own testimony. I wonder what God's saying to us. I tell you, what's ahead of us is amazing, but sometimes we have to take those steps. And then the next month, you know, 38,000 ringgit more. And then the next month, not 38, but then it went down to 27. But whatever that was there was enough. You know, the Lord was doing that. But the beautiful thing is, after we counted 6 months, we actually grew by 100 people. And the Lord is saying, they're all there. I you know, I'm able to do it. What's 100 people? I'll add 1,000 more. means time to stop already. And more. Yeah. If I ever come to you and wipe your forehead, it's probably, you know, because some showers of blessing have come forth. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm gonna close. I believe you've heard my heart, and but most importantly, heard what God has in store. I just feel like God just wants to encourage you today. You know, not put you down, not condemn you, not, you know, sometimes I use those kind of words like, yeah, the most creative or the most challenging, you know, I hope you can accept that, just, you know, and laugh over it. But it's true, isn't it, sometimes? But it's also a good thing. Good thing. But what are we going to do about it, isn't it? So the Lord just wants to really encourage you, lift you up, wants you to continue to pursue those dreams and prepare. It's not so much you prepare yourself, it's he's preparing you, and you just have to work with him. Because if we wanted to prepare ourselves, we won't choose some of the testings we're going through, no? Oh, I'm going to prepare myself. I'm going to choose this easy testing, that easy one. You know, but because he chooses our testings, you know, it's hard. Somebody's wanting me to stop. Okay, cool. Hallelujah. thing going on here. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to end. Where is our dependency? I tell you, the Lord is challenging you, not just in your character, but in your next step of faith. And someone here, I'm closing my eyes now, just waiting to pray. Somebody here is going through some things. And somebody here is being challenged to take your next step of faith. Somebody here, the Lord has also told me that, in fact, there's nothing else that's stopping you from moving forward but fear. Only fear. Fear is the only thing. If you think about it, fear is the only thing that you are allowing to stop you from reaching out to your future in Christ. Let's not be afraid, because fear does not come from God. Faith does. And I really want to speak this into your lives, because I really believe that this is like a threshold, you know, this conference for some of you. 2008 is a year of new beginnings.
And I really want to believe that God has new beginnings for many of you here, if not all of you. New beginnings, new beginnings. The old has passed away. Behold, all things will become new. I really believe in newness, even in your job, even in your ideas, creativity, opportunities, open doors, newness in those things that you've always wanted but never, you know, dared, ventured into, but it's a good thing and God is speaking to your heart. There are things in your life, things before you, open doors, opportunities. I just want to speak that into your life. I just really believe this is going to be a turning point. Even if it's just one of you, I still count it worth it to wake up early this morning to come here. Even if it's just one of you that God came to speak to, I tell you what, it's going to be great. God is out to build your dream. Because it's not just your dream, it's His dream in you. God is out to disciple you. God is also out to have you depend on Him completely. Father, thank you so much that new testimonies await us. Great adventures before us. The Bible says in Daniel 11, I believe, 32, they that know their God shall be strong and do great exploits. Thank you, Lord, that these people here are meant for exploits, meant to experiment, meant to move into new ground, meant, Lord, to put their hands into things that people have only dreamt about in times past. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for a new breed. I thank you for a new generation. I thank you for people that are more daring today than ever before. I thank you for a new blood. I thank you for a new faith. I thank you for a new generation of, no matter how old we think we are a new generation of people gifted with communications and media. And we're going to bring the gospel. We're going to bring the word. We're going to bring the story that God wants to tell to life. And because of our lives and because of our talent and because of our giftings and because of the opportunities that God is preparing us for, I tell you what, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor have entered the mind of man the things that God has planned for those who love Him. I really believe that the greatest days are ahead of us. I bless you today. I thank God for each and every one of you. I pray for an encouragement to just fill your heart, for a stirring in your spirit to desire and believe God for more. Hallelujah, He is the God of so much more. I bless you, my friends. I bless each and every one of you. If there be anyone who's going through any struggle, some of you are feeling alone, maybe even in your church, even in your ministry, you're feeling like, man, you're misunderstood. And those are challenging times. And sometimes there's no budget. You know, it seems to be budget for everything else. Children's church and youth programs and everything, but except for the media. But I tell you what, do not fret. Do not worry. Do not be discouraged. Do not be dismayed. God is with you. And I believe that He is with this vision. I believe He is with this vision. And I believe that God is going to prosper this vision. He's going to show not only you, but the people around you and even the world ahead of you how He is with you. So important to know that God is with us and He has blessed us and we will see His blessing. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody say, amen. Praise God. Let's give God a big praise offering. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thanks, Pastor Kenya. Okay. After that, I think I'm actually just speechless. Yeah. So actually...